Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. You did it!
I did, but I was looking at the thing.
Okay, you had your script.
I did.
Great job, nonetheless.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, it's so muggy and tropical here. I don't know.
For us, are we Connecticutans? I don't know what we call ourselves.
Yankees.
We're Yankees. We're not like Floridians who can tolerate this kind of weather.
New Orleans
and all the rest.
Louisianans, Alabamians.
Right.
Yeah. We're delicate. And
yes.
We can't do humidity over 50% unless, a rainstorm and 50 degrees. And we love that.
That would be nice. And yesterday it did rain. We got the vestiges of Elsa.
Yeah.
And it was just sheets of rain, which was rather pleasant, but it was still incredibly humid.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we have quite a long letter this week and so much there. So I'm excited. Why don't you get us started, Joss?
Okay. Dear ladies, I wrote to you last summer about my female problems. I was having trouble getting pregnant and feeling very alone. When you read my letter, I cried my way through the whole podcast. Thank you for your compassion, advice, and insight. I did take your advice and shared my struggles with my teacher friends, and they were very supportive. I've also been seeing a therapist for the past 2.5 years. Last fall, my husband and I were still unable to conceive. We went to a fertility clinic and were all set to have fertility testing done in November when I unexpectedly had to have surgery to remove 2 very large ovarian cysts. Our testing got moved to December. After going through the tests, IVF was recommended to us. In January, we called the clinic and said we would start IVF in March. 2 days later, I found out I was pregnant, and I'm now 23 weeks along with a healthy baby girl.
Which is yay!
Wonderful. Yeah, we're happy. I guess I had some pesky cysts in there that were preventing things from running smoothly. I am so thankful for the little joy that is growing inside of me. My husband likes to say that he knew I was pregnant before I did because I walked away from the pregnancy test discouraged before the second light appeared while he waited for it patiently.
Aww.
Now to the meat of my letter. I might have mentioned in my previous letter that my sister and I are not close. I'm in my early 30s and she's 2.5 years older than me. Let's call her Tib. I will be Betsy. Some background info is needed. Once Tib became a teenager, she started treating me terribly, and it didn't really ever stop. Long story short, I look back now with some insight from my therapist and realize that she was verbally and emotionally abusive to me and my younger brother. The one time it was brought up to Tib as adults, she brushed it off, saying, "Everyone says mean things to their siblings." She is abrasive and rude and refers to minorities using inappropriate slang terms. She yells a lot and enjoys confrontations and arguing. She has no filter and is very judgmental. She has never been sensitive to things that upset me and would instead make fun of me for it and use it to taunt me. However, she is capable of extending kindness and compassion to others as she has a successful career as a nurse. She just does not extend that to me. I'm pretty much the opposite of my sister. Consider me the typical middle child who is the peacekeeper and the people pleaser. I am sensitive and compassionate and do not enjoy confrontation whatsoever. Tib and I are both married. Tib's husband is similar to her, has no tolerance for differences of opinions and beliefs, and will straight up lie to get his own way. I will say that he can be kind, and I do think he tries to encourage Tib to be kinder to me, but he is also aggressive and confrontational. He and Tib communicate through constant bickering. My husband and I only really see them at family events, cookouts, holidays, etc. My sister does live close, but honestly, spending time with them is not really enjoyable. I've tried to convey our relationship dynamic in a nutshell. Tib has a daughter, around 4, who she had through IVF. I absolutely adore Anne, not her real name, but I don't get to see her much. Tib did try to have another baby through IVF, but the embryo did not take. This happened about 1.5 years ago. She and her husband made the decision not to do IVF again. Since Tim found out I was pregnant, she's been a rain cloud over the entire experience. Every single time I would bring up something to her or she would find something out about my pregnancy, she would have a negative reaction. I wasn't planning on sharing our struggles to conceive, but my husband shared the news with my family. My husband and I didn't talk about sharing or not sharing prior to telling our pregnancy news. Her reaction to finding out we had struggles was, "Why didn't you tell me? It's not like I don't know how it feels." She said she would help me with my registry, which was nice. So I asked her where she got her crib and what kind she got. And her response was, "You don't need that right now. I will tell you when the time is right." So I proceeded to compile my registry without her help. After it was mostly finished, I asked her to look it over. When Tim found out I did my registry without her, her response was, "How did you even know what to register for? I told you I would help you." I responded that when I asked for help, she refused. Tib's response was, "It's too early in the pregnancy to plan things." "But this isn't her pregnancy. It's mine, and it's my choice to what I do, not hers." She took about a week to look at the registry and give me input, but she did do it. Here are some other examples of her negative reactions. Her response on what the gender should be. "You need a boy. You're too girly." Gender reveal. "I wasn't planning on having an in-person event because, you know, COVID, and it was February, and a big gender reveal just isn't my thing. But here was her input when she found out I was probably going to do a small video chat reveal. You should make cupcakes and drop them off at everyone's house, and we can all eat them at the same time." I said that was a lot of work, and we were going to do a reveal through trivia. Tip said, "Well, motherhood is a lot of work." And scheduling a gender reveal with my family, I asked Tib what night worked for her and scheduled it for that night. After getting an invitation link, her response was, "Is this really going to take an hour? I don't have time for that."
Nice.
On the actual call, she promptly got off as soon as the gender was revealed. "Baby shower. You're scheduling this too early. I didn't even think about my shower until at least 20 weeks. Oh my God. Chapter 2.
I have since stopped reaching out to her about anything baby related because she really is a rain cloud over everything. I was hoping for some sisterly support throughout this experience. Being pregnant is tough, but I have received no support from her, which has been a bit heartbreaking. Am I overreacting, expecting too much? I personally think she is a bit bitter now that the attention will be off of her and Anne. And so she is almost upset that I'm having a baby. And also, everything is about Tib, everything. When my mom found out I was pregnant, her response was, "Oh, Tib will be so happy because now Anne will have someone to play with." Shouldn't Tib and my mom be happy because I'm having my first child, not because of how this impacts them? It seemed very selfish. Now for when I reached my breaking point and stood up to Tib for the first time in 32 years. A bit more background is needed. About 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, as well as social anxiety. Medication was recommended, but I've been managing it pretty well with the help of my therapist, a supportive and understanding husband, lots of walking, and no medication. I do not let my anxiety define me, meaning it is not something I talk about casually or broadcast to everyone. It is simply part of who I am, and I deal with it. As for most people with existing anxiety, COVID has been extra difficult. I've been extremely cautious, even more so since getting pregnant. My husband and I are both fully vaccinated. Tib and her family have not been cautious. Tib's husband has refused to wear a mask throughout the pandemic and wouldn't even wear one around my mother, who is a cancer survivor and has existing autoimmune disorders. They've been living their normal lives without consideration for how their actions impact others. Tib and her husband even threw a big indoor birthday party for Anne in January. We live in a place with four seasons, so it's cold in January, and were surprised when I said we weren't coming. I have been disappointed in how they've handled COVID, especially since my sister is a nurse and has been dealing with the deaths firsthand. Tib finally did get vaccinated, but her husband did not and still refuses to wear a mask. What an asshole.
I know.
Anyway, several weeks ago, I stopped at their house to drop off some books she'd let me borrow. It was a gorgeous day, so I set the items on her porch and stepped back. Anne had come. Anne had the door open, and I asked her why she kept holding it, and she said, "Aunt Betsy, come in. Come in." I said, "No, thank you. Ask your mommy if you can come out here to say hello quick." Long story short, Tib refused to come outside to say hello and refused to let Anne come outside. Tib demanded I come into her house. I said I wasn't comfortable in coming in and would stay outside. Tib started yelling at me, saying how ridiculous I was being, going on and on. I finally just said, I'm not coming in, I'm leaving, and I went to my car and drove away. There were several things going through my head. The first thing was, I do not want my daughter to grow up thinking it is okay to treat people that way, the way Tib just treated me. I do not want my daughter to see her mother getting berated and pushed around for how she feels. It is not okay. I was also just heartbroken that my only sister would not extend me the simple kindness of stepping outside her house so I would feel more comfortable. Every other person in my life has had no problem with accommodating my very reasonable wishes during COVID. I was crying so hard that I had to pull over, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to say nothing this time. I'm done acting like how she treats me is okay. I sent her a message that said, I don't appreciate how she treats me because I am different from her, and that if she can't treat me with kindness and compassion, she does not belong in my life. As I was sending her that message, she sent me one, thanking me for stopping by. She had absolutely no idea how what she said and did affected me, which to me was even more disheartening. As you can imagine, her response to my message was aggressive and confrontational. She sent three different messages saying how, again, I was being so ridiculous. Clearly, I had no idea about what the CDC says is safe regarding COVID, how I am victimizing her and painting her as the bad person. I did not respond. After speaking to my therapist, I formulated a response. I did not engage in what Tib had said to me. I simply said that I felt Tib misunderstood why I was so upset. But regardless, I do want her to be part of my life. For that to happen, though, we need to be mutually respectful of each other's wants and needs. Tib didn't respond, which was fine. I said what I needed. My whole life, Tib's behavior has been excused and justified by my mother. When I couldn't stop crying about the incident, I did call my mom and talk to her about it. And my mom's response was, well, you know how Tib is. It's her way or the highway. To which I responded that that's not okay anymore, and it's not an excuse for her to treat people poorly. Tib and I haven't spoken much since the incident, but that isn't different from normal. There has been more drama with her in my pregnancy. I'm having my baby shower at a local country club. It's a luncheon with a mimosa bar. Would you ladies like to come? I would love to have you.
Yes.
Yes, we accept.
Yes.
It's a slightly more formal event than the average baby shower, and I didn't include kids on the guest list. This is an event about me, and honestly, I don't want kids running around. Well, my sister got her invitation and immediately called my mom to ask if Anne could come. My mom then texted me saying, hey, Anne can come to the shower too, right? She would love it, and of course you would want her there. I was very hurt at my mom making assumptions on what I would want and about Tib again making my pregnancy about her. I responded to my mom saying that it is an adult event and we are not having kids there. I knew that wasn't the end of the conversation, so I called my mother and said, we need to revisit the shower. We aren't having kids there. My mother's response was dramatic, saying how of course I would want Anne there, and Anne would just love it and have a wonderful time. Why don't I want kids there? On and on. Anne would literally be the only kid, and she is four. What four-year-old has fun at a baby shower? I responded saying, this event is not about Anne. It is about me, and I do not appreciate her telling me what I want when I very clearly said I do not want kids there. My mom got upset saying, I put her in the middle, and now she has to tell Tib that Anne can't come and Tib will be mad. I said my guest list was very clear and did not include Anne and that Tib never should have asked in the first place. What is your take on all of this? Obviously, my mom is an enabler, and I was upset because I feel like my sister is again trying to make this about her and what she wants rather than about me. I will also say that I am having a dinner at the country club to celebrate earning my master's degree from May 2020, and my sister is not coming to that since I requested vaccinated guests only, to which she responded, well, I'm not coming without my husband, so no. My point in bringing that up is, if Anne would love coming to the country club so much, she's had other opportunities to do so. I feel like my sister is trying to take the attention off of me by having her adorable little girl there. Am I overreacting? This has been an extremely long letter, and I apologize. It is a bit disjointed and jumps around a bit, but I hope it conveys the dynamic between my sister and me. How do I move forward from here? Am I being too sensitive? I want my sister in my life, but I do not want her to have a negative impact on my little girl. I finally realized I will never have the relationship with her that I long for, and that's been hard to accept, and it's been painful. But I am tired of allowing her to take away my happiness. I foresee more rockiness ahead, as my husband and I do not plan on letting unvaccinated individuals visit the baby. My therapist told me that I've drawn a boundary around my sister, and I need to keep reinforcing it. I feel a bit like I've opened Pandora's box. I hope you read this novella on your podcast, as I am anxious to hear your input. Kristen, congratulations on your son graduating and your daughter's wedding. And then she shares her name, but she doesn't want it to read on the air. And we absolutely love it.
Yeah, the baby's name is super cute.
Fantastic. Super yeah. Cute. So, okay, let's see. And it's signed. Is it signed? We're going to have it
Establishing boundaries.
Boundaries. Okay. What do you think, Jess?
So I wanted to address initially that moment, which is super annoying, when your sister called your mom to inquire about bringing her child to your baby shower instead of simply calling you. That is pure gaslighting.
She's a troublemaker.
She's a troublemaker. She knows that she can get your mom on her side because that's been her pattern. And so a couple things there. You need to pull your mom out of the middle of every conversation that you have surrounding Tib, or when you need to converse directly with Tib. Don't put your mom in the middle. Take her out. I will also say that when they kept haranguing you about bringing Anne to the shower, why don't I want kids there, and on, the best script you could have come up with, and you could probably use this in many more situations, is, I appreciate that, but I've already made my decision.
Right.
And you repeat that ad nauseum, verbatim, because then they get the point when you keep saying it over and over again like that, and mm-hmm. they stop. That is establishing a boundary, as your therapist says, but you have to do it in a way that's really blatant and obvious for them, because they don't get it. That's why they keep pushing at your boundaries.
They
don't,
because they think they can change your mind.
They think they can change your mind.
Now, the biggest reason, I just want to go back to the little kid at the shower.
Yeah.
If it was not COVID time, I would say you're being a jerk by not inviting your niece.
Yeah.
For if she's a super girly girl, as my princess was, she would have loved to have been at the shower opening the boxes, helping you with the presents, cooing over little toys. I don't think it would be about making the shower about Anne. And so I have to say, boundaries, that the line, like, it's all about me, tends to rub me the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
It's all about your baby.
Yeah.
And your little niece will be part of this baby's life. And I don't think it would have been bad to include her in regular times.
Mm-hmm.
But because she is a little COVID carrier, because I don't think kids under 12 can get vaccinated.
Nope, they cannot.
That's the reason you shouldn't have her at your shower.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to take care of your unborn child.
That's right.
So, you know, I think that you should never have to worry about a four-year-old stealing your thunder. You know, this is your niece and you love her, and, you know, you want her to be part of your baby's life. However, I want to talk about the overall family dynamic here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you have the same family setup as I do, with some gender differences. I'm also the middle child. I also have a problematic older sibling who did for 50 years dominate family events by being the angry one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you crossed him, you know, it was terrifying. You would be punished for that. And everybody had to tiptoe around him, walk on eggshells, try not to upset him. And my mother enabled that for decades, just saying, you know, like, she wants to have this image of what a family should be. It's proof of her good mothering if she has all three of her children under the same roof.
Yes.
And the person who says, I'm not going to deal with that anymore, becomes the problem.
Right.
You are sticking up for yourself. Your mother never stuck up for you. Your mother has never stuck up for herself. And it's uncomfortable for your mom. So I think that you're absolutely right in creating a very clear boundary for when you will see Tib and under what circumstances. Mm-hmm. This idea that you guys are going to be this happy family and that Tib's going to be a great aunt, let that go.
Yes.
You know, if this is how she's treating you when you're pregnant, mm-hmm. You know, gaslighting you, telling you you're too sensitive, pretending she had no idea what you were upset about. Mm-hmm. That's all what abusive people do.
It's classic gaslighting, manipulation, passive aggressiveness. It's classic. I too have a similar family, although I'm the youngest, but my oldest brother is the Christ child.
Yes.
And if he says the sky is red, my mother will say, well, you know, your brother said the sky is red.
Right.
So it's obviously.
And red. I don't understand why you're not agreeing.
Out east, you're always so sensitive. You're just being ridiculous, Josh.
Right.
Why don't you see that? And that's gaslighting. That's not taking your opinion into consideration. That's making you feel less than.
And I've been with your brother and I've seen how he does it. He does it very well. He's an accomplished gaslighter, subtle put downs, sense of superiority.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very sanctimonious. But like you, Kristen, my mom has treated him that way for decades. So that's what he's accustomed to.
Yeah.
And when I put my foot down and hold my boundaries really strong, and granted, this did take a while. So you've got to push through and keep strong with this establishing boundaries. Once I did that and held my line, they listened to me. They stopped. Mm-hmm. They particularly my mother, which has been great. She recognized that when I say, I appreciate your opinion, but I've made my decision. And when I repeat that verbatim, ad nauseum, she's not going to get anywhere with me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if my brother needs to speak to me, he does it directly or not at all. He no longer goes through my mom because he knows that's not going to work.
Right.
Right.
In my situation, I'm proud of you boundaries because it took me a lot longer to draw the line in the sand. And, mm-hmm. And I did it with sort of like, I will forgive you for, you know, your latest horrible behavior. However, I have conditions, you know, you need to apologize to my kids because mm-hmm. they witnessed that, mm-hmm. you know, you can never speak to anyone in my presence like that again, or, you know, I'll just leave. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said, you know, if you can't treat me with respect, and you know, he couldn't. So that was the end of it.
Yeah.
And like you, I thought I can't let my children think that this behavior is okay. You know, sometimes what we can't do for ourselves, we can do for our kids. Mm-hmm. And I just thought if my daughter thinks that a man yelling at me with such hatred and venom mm-hmm. is okay and forgivable, what kind of message am I sending? I don't care if it's her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the greatest pride in my life is that my children get along and, mm-hmm. you know, they really enjoy each other and love each other. So I think that you have to understand that your family dynamic is not going to change.
Yeah.
And you're never going to have that auntie in the form of Tib, but you mm-hmm. can have other aunties, your friends, your good, close friends, your cousin, you know, other people who can fill that role. You know, I will say that my children do not miss their uncle. We still see his son and his ex-wife, and it's really so much nicer than ever. To have that person absent who always made things so difficult.
Suck the air out of the room.
Yeah, suck the air out of the room or just like put everyone on alert.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's prickly. Everybody has to toe the line. That's wrong. That's an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. Your mom will maybe never come over to your side.
Probably never.
And I'm sorry to say that. I think you can probably have a pleasant relationship with her. Keep Tib out of it. mom gets to come see the baby. You know, the unvaccinated brother-in-law does not get to come see the baby. You know, you're going to have to talk to your pediatrician about having her around Anne and that kind of thing. But this is your family now. Tib is not your family. She's not your priority. It's weird. Like, you go from thinking your siblings are your closest family, right? And my sister and I, you know, like, she, I always say she's one of the loves of my life because, you know, I adore her so much, and we get so much out of spending time together and talking. But when you become a mom, that's your family now, your baby and your husband, and that's your priority. And you don't want this unpredictable, gaslighting, abusive sister to be around her, you know? So you can see her twice a year, three times a year. Until COVID is solved, you've got that, you know, and if she says, how come I can't just drop by anymore? You say, you know, Tib, you have a way of making me feel really bad about myself and insulting me. And I don't want my daughter to see that. And that's my decision. And I appreciate your input.
Yeah. And that's it. I will say, going forward, get your husband on the same page, especially when you have family events to go to. Prep, you know, definitely prep. Sit him down and say, this is what might happen. These are my responses. What do you think? Get him on the same page so that when you need to stand up and walk away because of something that Tib has done or said, he will be like right there with you.
Yeah.
Ready to go. Because there are times when holding a boundary means get up and leave.
Yeah.
That's what it means. And it's hard. I've done it. It's really hard. But once it's done, it's very impactful.
Yes.
Once somebody does something that you don't like and you say, okay, thank you, I'm going to have to leave now, and you get up and walk away, despite what they're saying to you, you're being too sensitive, why are you going, don't do this, blah, 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 and you leave anyway, changes the whole dynamic once you do it. So, and get your husband on the same page.
That's, yeah, and your husband sounds like a great guy, but you know, you do have to make him part of the team.
Yeah. Go with a script and a plan.
And he may be wanting to fix this.
Yeah.
You know, like, let me talk to your mom, honey. I can't tell you how many times my husband talked to my mom.
Yeah.
And my brother. And guess how many times it worked? None. That's how many. Yeah. So I do think that, you know, I understand my mom better with age. I understand how sincerely she wanted that happy little family that you see on TV. And I understand how painful it is to have an asshole for a son, which she fully acknowledges now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she probably still loves him in her way, in that sort of, you know, mother child way. But she also won't put up with his behavior anymore.
Which is good.
Yeah. She never, I don't think she ever understood what I was doing in putting up these boundaries and saying, this is a line you can't cross. And it's a very basic line of, like, you can't treat me poorly in my own home or anywhere else. And I got the whole, you're too sensitive and you're so unforgiving and yada, yada. And it was hard to, to stand the line, and especially against my mom. So I really feel for you, but I will tell you that I have a very good relationship with my mom, better than ever, like Joss.
Same, yes.
Because of these things, because I made
it out for you. So true. And it's so surprising. You think that you're, like, sort of destroying whatever relationship that you might have. In fact, you're making it better. So think of that. Your mother, who is an enabler, a complete enabler. Yeah. It might make your relationship with her stronger, which would be a great little side benefit for holding these boundaries with Tip.
And, you know, when you have your first child, you become an adult in sort of a new way, because you are the one responsible for this little infant. And, you know, this is a great way to start, you know, talking to your mom and creating the kind of visits and tone and atmosphere that you want for your family. So if that means your mom gets to come over 15 minutes a day or 15 minutes a week or 15 minutes a month, you know, that's up to you. And you don't have to bow to any kind of family pressures because your family is your husband and your baby. Mm-hmm. They come first. You know, you pledge to love, honor, and cherish him. And part of that is keeping your shitty family at bay, yes. You know?
Yes.
If the family is just a source of drama, you know, don't put your husband and child through that. Don't drag them into the murky fray, you know?
Yep. Because I guarantee you, your mom, if she has any siblings, suffered this same sort of situation with her siblings. She just sort of passed it on. So stop the cycle right now. You guys have the perfect family that maybe your mom always wanted, didn't get with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it won't happen overnight. I'm really glad you're in with a therapist, as was I when I was going through all this.
Okay.
And, you know, I think when you're the middle child and you have an older dominant sibling, whatever, you know, when you have an older dominant sibling, you've spent 32 years believing that that's the way it is. That's normal. And it's not normal. Mm-mm. It's not normal for one sibling to rule them all mm-hmm. and pee on your pregnancy parade. You know, she's just not a kind person.
No.
And when we actually showed this letter to the princess for her opinion, and she said, so many nurses are not kind people.
That's just so surprising to
you
me.
You think, like, but you're an angel of mercy. It's like, no.
I know.
We really wish you the absolute best with your baby. I hope you have a wonderful delivery. I guess you're getting closer because we've had your letter for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So hopefully you're in the safe baby range, which is after 24 weeks. And Joss is pointing to something.
The EPP.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Joss.
So yes, there's a delightful EPP at the end of Establishing Boundaries letter. And it says, being pregnant comes with many EPPs. One of mine is the inability to hold in gas.
Yeah.
It's just awful. I'll be having a serious discussion with my husband and a big fart just comes out and there's not a thing I can do about it. It kind of ruins the discussion, you think? And I don't think he quite believes me when I say I can't help it. I'm so thankful I work with first graders because it happens quite often at work too. Either they don't notice or they think nothing of it. Also, I don't even want to get started how I'll have to shave the bikini line this summer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, don't shave the bikini line this summer.
If ever there was a time to, you know, let the thighs go. I love the first grader thing because little kids fart, you know, when they have to. It's just like a little storm of stink in any first grade classroom. You can tell your husband that is a thing. And when he has a human pressing on his bowels, he can tell you how easy it is to hold in a fart. Okay. So none of this, sir. Look it up. Please let us know when the baby arrives. And we can't do that 8-hour drive, unfortunately, she says, Joss, because she knows you get car sick.
And it's gotten worse, I'm sorry to say, but hoping for a really safe delivery for you, healthy baby. It's a beautiful name.
And we want a picture.
I was going to say, if you feel comfortable, I'd love to see a picture.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.